Grand Mountain Selects number 653. 653. Same cloud grade. It is on Rex and this one. These are based on a couple of people votes in our AC for A to B. This logic is what it is.
Our dear, most wonderful, loving, all-knowing, all-powerful Heavenly Father, we come before you humbling ourselves in prayer through your Son, Jesus. We come to learn more about you this evening with brethren of like-minded faith. We thank you for the time that you provided for us that we might engage in this Bible study of Galatians. And now to offer a service of worship to you as we go throughout our week here in the middle. Lord, we thank you for the brethren that we have, for those of the number here that we can rely on and trust and to delve into the scriptures with, that we might all grow with one another. Lord, we ask that you be with us as we go through our lives trying to find everything that we can in your word, to glean all that we can to apply to our lives and to grow in our faith, in our spirit, that we might be more holy, righteous in your sight. Lord, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, that bridges the gap for us, that we might be called your children, that we might be heirs of your of the inheritance that you provide for us, the freedom and salvation that is through your Son. Lord, we ask that you be with us now through this service, that these songs that we sing might be sung with our hearts, that we might sing with understanding and be pleasing in your sight, that our prayers would be holy and respectful with the message that's brought, we ask that you allow it to touch our hearts if need be, and allow us to grow from it as well. Lord, we pray for those who are unable to be with us, that, whether that be physical or spiritual ailments. We ask that you be with those of our number who are away. And, please be with the Canes as they're traveling, and give them a safe passage back. But we ask that you be with us now, as always, that we may not take a step without thee. Guide us in every walk and grant us wisdom in all of our dealings. In your Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Brendan read my mind tonight, or maybe the Holy Spirit did share this, but I want to talk to us about our Father God. And I appreciate that song very much. I didn't think about asking you to lead that song, but the Lord took care of that for us. In our last lesson on Sunday morning in Galatians, and then we reviewed it again tonight, we talked about that passage in Galatians chapter 4 where Paul talks about us crying after God, Abba, Father. And it really just sparked me to want to think about that a little bit. I liked when we talked about the fact that in the Old Testament, you just don't really see that among the people of God, calling him Father, calling on him as Father, and thinking of that way. It clearly is in the Scriptures. And I'll ask you to look at just a couple of passages with me, if you will. Look at Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 9. We know that this is not in a great period of time for Judah. They were on the verge of going into captivity, and Jeremiah's call was for them in the last days, actually over many years, but in the last days of there. And in Jeremiah 31 and verse 9, he is describing the Lord, and he says in 31:9, "They shall come with weeping, and supplications will I lead them. I will cause them to walk by the rivers of water in a straight way, wherein they shall not stumble. For I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn." So the Lord speaks very affectionately about these that he's judging, that he does love them and care for them. And he did say, "I am a father to Israel. I want to be, I will be, I am that person. If they have one, it's me." And I appreciate that that's included. Look at Malachi chapter 2, the closing remarks of the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 2. Malachi chapter 2 and verse 10. The prophet writes, "Have we not all one Father? Have not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously, every man against his brother, by profaning the covenant of our fathers?" We have one Father. He says that's not the way God treats us. And so why do we treat each other that way? We have a Father that gives us the right example. One God who created us. And he is a Father to us. And finally, in Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 6, in a well-agreed-upon messianic passage, the names of the God who will visit mankind in Isaiah chapter 8. I'm sorry, it is chapter 9. I wrote that down and I corrected myself. It's Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. It says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." And so this one that was prophesied to come and bring the qualities of God into the world, one of the aspects of that is that he is the Everlasting Father. And Jesus would present the Everlasting Father in a way that the world had never seen before. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3 tells us that Jesus is the express image of the person of God. And therefore, in that expression, we see the Everlasting Father in a way that we'd never seen before. So it is in the Old Testament. It clearly is a presentation that God was trying to make of himself to Israel so that it would be clear to them. They never got comfortable with that. Most of the passages we've looked at have been more reminders, have been more alerts to them that the Father is our God, and he loves Israel, and he wants to provide, and he's seeking Israel, and it's good. But that is not something that got comfortable with, and when Jesus came into the world and started presenting, talking to about God and talking to God as their Father, it did feel foreign. It feels shocking to us as we go to read the New Testament as it opens up and you see the first messages of Jesus referring to the Father over and over and over and expecting the people to pick up on that. I actually mentioned in class the argument in John chapter 8 when Jesus is arguing with the leaders there and some of the people around, and they are kind of dragged to the idea that, well, yeah, God's our Father. But that's just not what they thought of initially. That's not the way they considered God. It's certainly not the way they acted as his children in a family with a loving father. Jesus demonstrated this for them in the very first address that he ever gave. Turn to Matthew chapter 5, if you will. And this is where I'll take the rest of my thoughts tonight. Matthew chapter 5 and 6. And we're not going to read the whole chapter, so I don't want to take time for that. But I noted in chapter 5, as he finished the Beatitudes, he makes the application of the what we call the similitudes, the salt of the earth and the light of the world, and says in verse 16 of Matthew 5, Sermon on the Mount, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." And I don't know how much that got their attention, or it might have gone over their head. Again, so Jesus, that's his first mention of it in this early sermon that he preached. If you think back to chapter 4 and the last few verses there, Jesus had been going around Galilee, beginning in verse 23. He was going around Galilee. He was teaching in the synagogues. He was preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing, doing miracles, showing the authority by which he had to teach. And it was drawing tremendous crowds. And so as those multitudes began to gather, he pulled up this multitude of thousands that were able to gather on this mountain where he could go and sit above them, around them, and then they could hear him, kind of a natural amphitheater. You know, there's so few places like this that are exactly that way that they have a pretty good idea of where this was, and that you really can hear a single man for a huge area right there on the Sea of Galilee. It's just built that way. Not surprisingly, that God provided for that. So he mentions that, and he personifies the Father for them as their Father, your Father, which is in heaven. Look at verse 45 of chapter 5. Chapter 5 and verse 45. He's still applying the truths of the Sermon on the Mount, and he says in verse 45, "That you may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust." A lot of people in the world know that passage and quote that principle there. And Jesus is telling them, that's your Father looking after you as his children. God's providing for you because he is your Father and you are his children. And finally in verse 48, he tells them a challenge. "Be you therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect." So he's told them in the first chapter here of the Sermon on the Mount, to the verse 16, glorify your Father. Verse 45, you are the children of your Father in heaven. And verse 48, to be perfect like your Father. So great challenges for this one that they didn't really know this way. And yet, these great challenges that are being offered are offset, they are cushioned, if you will, a little bit, with the fact that it's not be like the perfect God of heaven who is out of touch and out of reach. He presents him as a loving Father, and you are his children. And so when I tell you to be perfect like him, it is because he loves you and cares for you and provides for you a way to do that. Jesus then makes application of that in chapter 6, and he gives them four qualities that they need to think about, practices that they were familiar with and yet needed to be done in a different way when they weren't thinking of this as some out of reach, out of touch God who's over in the temple and we kind of go engage with him when we need to or when we have to according to the law. And Jesus says, no, when you do these things, remember that you're communing with your Father in heaven. The first one he talked about was almsgiving. And when they gave their alms, that it was important how they made these contributions, how they shared with one another. And what was the purpose of those things? Was it to gain notoriety? Was it to be seen for their generosity and be praised by men for that? And Jesus says, that's not going to help you with the Father if you do it that way. Do your alms in secret. Don't let somebody else know what you're doing. Just do it. And know that your Father sees you. Look at verse 4. Thine alms that may be in secret, and thy Father which sees in secret himself shall reward thee openly. Only one that needs to know about it is your Father. And that's the only one that you should really care about, because he's the one who's going to reward you far beyond what a man could do. Also in chapter 6, in verse 8, he is summing up the use of prayer. And we see that in other places in the New Testament. Not praying to be heard, not for lengthy speeches or eloquence, and that how well you can speak with God. Jesus encouraged them to speak genuinely with God, to speak the words that were communicating their hearts to him as they meditated on his word and had laid it to their hearts. Let this produce a conversation. And this was their opportunity to share back with God. And he tells them in verse 8, be not therefore like unto them, open, out in the open and trying to be seen for what they're doing. For your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. Your Father hears these things. Your Father hears these things. And he knows what you need. He gives them an example of how to pray. And it is not for eloquent speech. It is not for verbosity. It is for genuine expression of their needs and their desires that they're laying before their caring God who hears them. Verse 15, he says that after when they deliver a prayer like this, that their Father will forgive them. Verse 14 and 15, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Your Father will forgive you as a reflection of the way you treat one another, for those are also his children. And he expects his children to get along and do well with one another. Then he talks about fasting, of course. In verse 18, he applies the same principles of, that he did with almsgiving to fasting. In verse 18, don't appear unto men to fast, but unto your Father, which is in secret. And your Father, which sees in secret, shall reward you openly. And finally, in the last part of the chapter, he makes this common point. I've preached on it many times. We've studied it all together many times. Of that we are not about serving the things of this world, and that we have to choose God first, and that we if we put him first, if we seek his kingdom first, verse 33 is probably the most popular verse we quote, seek his kingdom first, then God will add to us the things that we need, because he says in verse 32, after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. And then verse 33, with the right priorities in our life, he will add these things to us. So we don't have to spend our life seeking after them. The Lord will add them to us when we seek him first. I just really was enamored with how much Jesus emphasized this in the first couple of chapters, the first two-thirds of the Sermon on the Mount, when he went to preach to the public for the first time on a large scale. And I'm sure he did this over and over and over. I think the Sermon on the Mount is an example of the teaching that he did on a regular basis. I've used the analogy before of a stump speech. You know, that to a large degree, these are principles that Jesus taught everywhere that he went. You know, he didn't get on the radio and talk to everybody at one time, deliver a magnificent speech like this, and his ministry was over. He went around and talked to everybody, and he told them the same things. And we see in the book of Luke a different occasion, and he taught basically the same things. This is probably the fullest that we have of what this sermon was all about. This is the teaching that he did. And you can see at the core of this teaching is for them to understand that they don't serve a distant God, that God has come among them, and he's going to claim that position of being in the express image of God's person. And who they're supposed to see is a loving, genuine Father who cares for them, considers them his children, and desires only the very best for them. He does expect them to conduct themselves in a way that would reflect well on the Lord God as their Father. And that just like they would seek to please their own fathers and be a good reflection of the name that they were given from their earthly fathers, that they would now live that kind of life and be of that reflection on their Heavenly Father. For it's their Heavenly Father that knows everything, that rewards them, hears them, forgives them, sees everything that they need, and knows what they need, knows who they are. And he just gave them all of those things in a very short part of this lesson. Brethren, that's who we serve. That's who God wants us to understand He is for us. That He is our Father. He is not a distant God. He is not a name only. He is not someone who has set things in motion and stood aside and just watched it play out and will see us at the end. That's not the way it works. He is a loving Father who will see us all the way and will hear us and know us and seek reward for us and hear us and forgive us and know the things that we are and who we are. I'm so glad we serve our God who knows us well. And one of the things that He knows about us is our weaknesses. And then He can serve and strengthen those things like no one else. So when we're giving our alms, we think about the weaknesses that we have. When we're saying our prayers, we talk to Him about what we need, what was on our mind, what our weaknesses are, and seek the things that He has to offer for us. The opportunity tonight is for us to seek the forgiveness that He has. And we don't offer that forgiveness. These are an opportunity for you to talk with brethren about things that you know you want to see corrected with God and seek prayers from brethren for that, who also are addressing the same loving Father who wants to forgive. I looked up the word Abba, and I was just refreshing my own memory about it. I like what Vines had to say when I looked at it. It said that the Abba Father is that close personal relationship that they move from God Almighty to Jehovah to Father, but this is like loving Father. I think it's too trite to equate it to Daddy. That's not appropriate. But the feeling, the intimacy that we have of what we mean by that is not far off. And interestingly enough, in Judaism, in the Hebrew, when that Aramaic word was introduced as a part of their vocabulary, Abba was forbidden to be used by slaves regarding their masters. They could call them Father, but they were not allowed to call them Abba Father and use that. That Abba Father was for the non-slave, the family member, right, who cried out. And so that was Paul's application in this, is that you're not a distant person on the outside looking in. You are, as a Christian, in the family of God and cry Abba Father and are able to use that no longer as a slave, but as a son. And that's the context that he gave in Galatians 4 and in Romans when he talked about that. That's who we have to call on. We have to call on that intimate personal relationship that we have with God, our Father. And Jesus has afforded us that. He's given us that opportunity. And the opportunity to repent and to find a God who is forgiving and rewarding and knows what we need is the person that we need to run to when we know we've made a mistake. If tonight you'd like to make anything known to receive the prayers of the brethren, to share that you are correcting that in your life so that you can have that personal, kind, sympathetic relationship with God, your Father, who is in heaven, I want you to encourage you tonight to respond as we sing this song to encourage you to come forward.
Sweet to know. there to fill out the family. We'll do that tomorrow. A couple of family updates with me. My mother has a kid, and we're praying for the dead. And my niece Byron, a little girl who they adopted, and ICU, respiratory issues, severe respiratory issues. Her health is not very good. I'm going for a procedure about 10:30 tomorrow. It's very appreciated.
Not today. My dad will be supposed to be there.
Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this day. We're thankful for the ability to call you, Father, and to come to you in prayer. And we're so thankful for the gift of your Son that you sent to live on this earth and be a sacrifice for us so that we can, you know, be part of your family. We're thankful for your Word and the new things that we constantly get from it when we study. And we're so thankful to be able to glean new things and become closer to you and hopefully become more like your Son, Jesus Christ. We're very mindful of those that have just been mentioned that are in need of our prayers. We pray for Michael and Beth to have a safe trip home, and please keep all those traveling during this time of year safe as they travel. Pray for Brother Bob as he goes through his procedure tomorrow, and that the things that will work out best for him and the treatment that he seeks. Please be with my mom and the issues that she's having with her health. We pray that she'll receive the good treatment that she needs, and especially we pray for Izzy right now and her respiratory problems and the doctors that are helping her. We mindful of the situation in Zimbabwe, and we pray for rain to help them in their situation so that they especially have the food and water that they need for their survival. We fervently pray for that situation there and for to help those good brethren in that part of the world and brethren everywhere that need your help. We're thankful for you and the gift that you give us so that we can be redeemed and help us to live in such a way that we show our love to you and show that love that we have for you to the world so that we can bring others into your kingdom and we can have a home with you in eternity. And we pray all this in Christ's name. Amen.